for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, March the 26th, 2005. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds. Frank Mazzulla, Jr. of Cooper City, Florida, is the speaker.
My message is going to be on occultism and false religion tonight. But before I start on that, I want you all to understand something. I'm going to give you a little bit of a history. Jesus was crucified. The apostles didn't know what to do. They went out on a boat. They went fishing. And there's a guy on the shore. He's cooking something by a campfire. And he yells out to the disciples in the boat, "Didn't catch any fish, did you?" A loaded question. Of course they didn't. You know, they were out there all night. And so he says, "Cast your net on the other side of the boat." And immediately the net was filled with things. Do you remember the story? Right? Jesus. They recognized him, and Peter recognized it was Jesus. And so he immediately jumps in the water and swims to the shore ahead of the people, the other guys in the boat. And he doesn't even bother to ask him who he is, because he knows. And Jesus is cooking away. He's got breakfast on the grill already. And he talks to Peter. Peter, remember, Peter is the one who denied him three times in that courtyard. And he talks to Peter, and he restores Peter, his love and his dignity. But he says to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And this is in John chapter 21, verse 15. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Now, the word love in Greek has got several different words to it. We have one word for love. I love hot dogs. I love my wife. I love my car. And, you know, and it just doesn't do it any justice. But the Greek word love, agape, means godlike love. Phileo means fellowship type love or brotherly love. And eros is erotic love that you have for a lover or your wife or husband, whichever the case may be. And so Jesus is saying, "Simon, son of John, do you love?" And the word love, I looked it up in the Greek, is agapeos, agape. "Do you agape me more than these?" And a very interesting thing here is Peter's response. He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you." You know, Jesus wasn't really impressed with that, so he asked him again. He says, "You know, Lord, I phileo you." And he said, "Tend my lambs." Right? He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you agape me?" Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you." Again, Peter doesn't get it, you know? He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you phileo me?" See, he came down to Simon Peter's level. And he says, do you phileo me?" And Peter grieves. "You know all things, Lord. You know I phileo you." But you see, that's not what Jesus intended. He wanted agape love, agapeos love. He wanted the type of love, unconditional type of love, to flow between him and Peter and back and forth. You see, that's what Jesus requires of us. He doesn't require us to have phileo love for each other. Let me show you something else here. You know, another apostle got it right. He hit it right on the target here. And it was Paul, as he writes to Corinthians. He says, "If I speak with tongues of men," chapter 13, and "the tongues of men and angels, but do not have..." What? That's agape love. That's the word that was used. I looked that word up too. See, he got it right.
If I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but do not have agapeo, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal.
You know, our churches, brothers and sisters, and I'm sorry to say that our churches are like noisy gongs and clanging cymbals. And I'm giving you a word of exhortation tonight before I give you the message, because I want you to understand something. You've come to a deliverance ministers conference. You've come to learn something. You've come to learn how to do deliverance, how to get spiritual warfare under your belt and everything.
But you must understand something, that there's something even more important than this. Verse 2. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have agape, I am nothing. You know, you could be a prophet in a church. You could be a minister in the church. You may have been in the fellowship for a good number of years, 20, 30 years. You could be an active member of your church. You could be participating in things. And you could have all sorts of things happening in your life and know all mysteries and all knowledge. And you have all this. And if you don't have agapeo, the Word of God says here, and you could even remove mountains. You could have such faith you can remove mountains. But do not have agapeo, that's nothing. What you're doing is nothing, right? And if I give all my possessions and feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, most of you don't understand that. A lot of people give a lot of gifts, like they hand out great donations and they hand out great things and they do great things for people. And they even surrender the body to be burned. In other words, they'd be martyred for their beliefs. Look at me, I'm being martyred. I'm doing it. Listen, everybody look over here. They're chopping my head off. Everybody look over here. I'm being stoned. Look over here. Look what I'm doing for the kingdom. And they don't have agapeo. That's a noisy gong. It means nothing. It's a clanging cymbal. It profits me nothing. Love is patient. Agape is patient. Agape is kind. Agape is not jealous. Agape does not brag. How many people have you ever heard give a bragamony instead of a testimony? It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Agape does not provoke. Agape does not take into account a wrong suffered. Ouch. Ouch. Oh, that hits me right there. Agape does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Oh, go get him, God. Yahoo, God, get him. Agape does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Agape bears all things. Agape believes all things. Agape hopes all things. Endures all things. Agape never fails. You see? And it goes, and the word goes on. But the thing I wanted to share with you tonight is you've come to learn a little bit about spiritual warfare. And see, knowledge in itself can puff you up. Knowledge in itself can make you proud and boastful. And then you can go out and say, I know how to do deliverance. I know how to be a deliverance minister. But if it's not done in agape, it's a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. I know how to prophesy. I know how to lay hands on. I know how to do all this and do all that. I got the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But without agapeo, everybody make a clanging noise. How would you like to belong to a church of clangs? No. All right. Well, praise God. If you have done any of these things, I really want you to actually search your heart tonight and repent of it. And it is sin. It is sin. If you've actually operated in your gifts in the Holy Spirit as a clangy, noisy gong, you're operating in sin. It's called pride and arrogance. And, you know, Jesus said, all that call me Lord, Lord shall not enter the kingdom of God, but he who does the will of my Father, and depart from me, you who practice sin. I don't want to be one of those guys that get at the end of my life and stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and they'll say, you are a clanging cymbal, a gong. Go away, I never knew you. So please, brothers and sisters, please, whatever you've learned here in the course of this week, spread it with agape, agapeo. And I've come to learn something that's very important, and that's this. Everything that we do and say all boils down to souls and agape. That's what it's all about. It's about souls and agape. Amen? All right, now I can get on with the lesson. I had to get that out of the way. Well, somewhere in all of us is a deep longing to make contact with the unknown, with some form of higher power, something greater or wiser or more powerful than we are ourselves. And this is true at all levels of humanity, from the most primitive tribe in Africa or in the bushes of South America to the most sophisticated person on this earth. Everyone is seeking something greater, seeking something to discover the secrets of the universe.
You know, even the movie stars in Hollywood, they're trying to seek some great power of the universe. And people always trying to find a door to the realm of the supernatural. And there are many doors. There are many doors. There's doors of the occult. And I want to talk to you about the doors of the occult. There's two forms of the occult. It's divination and sorcery. So if you're taking notes, I'd like you to jot those two words down. Divination and sorcery. And there's doors of false religion. These are all doors that promise us peace and power. These are all doors that promise us knowledge and access to God. They claim to be direct us to God, to be a light, to be some form of truth of some sort. And they actually entice us. Instead of into the light, they entice us into the darkness. In John 10:9, Jesus says, "I am the door." Jesus said in John 10:9, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." And also Jesus said in John 14:16, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." You see, there are many different doors that lead into the realm of the supernatural. But there's only one door that leads into the supernatural realm of God, our Heavenly Father. Amen? That door is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And those that go through any other door, they could enter a supernatural realm, but it's not the supernatural realm of our Heavenly Father. It's a supernatural realm of Satan. And no one can find the true God going through any other door but through Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible. Now let's explore what occultism is. Occultism is derived from the Latin word meaning concealed or covered. Occultism means concealed or covered. The power operating through occult practices or systems comes from Satan and is evil. There are two main branches of the occult. Number one is divination, and number two is sorcery. Divination and sorcery are the two main branches of occultism. Now let's explore divination. Divination provides knowledge. Knowledge through supernatural means about people, events, and situations. And I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 16. And some of you already know this, but some of you are newcomers to this. Acts chapter 16. And what happened here in Acts chapter 16 is a clear example of divination. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. "And it happened as we were going to the place of prayer." So everybody say, "place of prayer." What is a place of prayer? It's church! All right? These apostles were going to church. They were going to a place of worship, prayer. All right? And so as they were going there, a slave girl having the spirit of divination met them. All right? And he says, "met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by," what does it say? "Fortune telling." All right? And so what happens here is really amazing. "And following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, 'These men are the bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation.' She continued doing this for many days. But Paul, being greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And it came out of her at that very moment." What was happening? They were going to a place of prayer to worship. Maybe it's shared a word, I don't know. And all of a sudden this girl comes up from, I don't know, who knows where. And she starts joining them as they're going along. And she's crying out, "These are the men of the Most High God!" What she was saying was truth, wasn't it? They were. They were the men of the Most High God. But, has anybody ever had a fly in your face? Well, that's what was going on. I was like, "Come on, girl, you're bugging me." And so what happened is that Paul, after being greatly annoyed with this, he turns and he casts the spirit out of her. It was a spirit. It was called divination. All right? She was making her money for her masters by making fortune telling or divination. You know, predicting the future or good things or bad things of people. That's fortune telling. That's divination. She had a spirit. The Greek word for divination means python. I think it's one of the translations you'll find that word in your Bible. She had a spirit of Python. And in Greek culture, the Python was associated with the practice of divination and fortune telling. And so when you command a spirit of divination out, You also want to command the spirit of Python out too to get to the root of it. The modern term for such a person, we call them psychics. You can, 1-800 dial a psychic, or you can go to your local mall and there they are, or you can drive down the street and see the palm hand up on a wall or something like that. These are psychics. And so what she was doing was getting information from a source, a demonic source. The devil knew who those people were. They were men of the Most High God. And so she was proclaiming that, bond servants of the Most High God. Everything she said was true, but her knowledge came from a spirit, a demon, that makes fortune-telling so deceptive and dangerous because it conceals the satanic source of it. You see? And that's why it is so devastating for people. They think they're going to get a bit of knowledge, and some of us here have done that in the past. We've gone to have our fortune told, but its source is satanic. It's concealed. And some of you have even done it unbeknownst to yourself. I remember when I was a young kid and some girl would say, "Oh, let me see your hand." I said, "Yeah, what about my hand?" "Let me see. Oh, look at that. You have a long lifeline." "Oh, isn't that cool? I have a long lifeline." And, yeah, I'm agreeing with it. Yeah, so anybody ever had that done to you? Okay. You had your fortune told. That's fortune telling. All right? At Walmart. Yeah, you can get anything at Walmart. Just watch out what aisle you go down. And so what happens here is because it's concealed and a satanic source of power, people go to these places for their predictions. But I tell you what it does. They give, whenever they accept that, they are giving the enemy a right to their life. You see? They give a prediction about the course of the person's life. And it's basically a declaration of what Satan has in store for the person at the same time. You see? Whenever somebody goes to a source of knowledge other than the Holy Spirit, they're opening a door to the realm of the demonic. And it leads for satanic forces to operate and achieve what was spoken into your life. "Oh, it looks like you're going to have a fiery crash. Oh, my goodness." Or they're looking into a crystal ball. "Oh, my goodness." Or they're doing tarot cards. "Oh, my goodness. Look at this. Look at that." And what happens is that you are actually being set up by Satan and his forces to operate and achieve their goal in your life by agreeing to that. So those things are very important not to do. You know, sometimes we go by the county fairs and we see these little machines and they're operating out in the open and there's nobody there and all you got to do is drop in a quarter and you get your fortune card done. And I remember doing that a couple of times when I was younger when I didn't know any better. And I'd go get my fortune done. How about Chinese cookies, fortune cookies? Anybody ever crack one open just to see? Come on, let's be honest. We're adults here. We, Listen, come on. How many people open up a fortune cookie here? All right? Okay. You had your fortune told. That's what you did. I did too. Now I don't even, when they bring them to the table, I say, "No, thank you." "Oh, the good. I'll throw the good. Good. And I say, "No, thank you. I don't want any of that." "How come? How come? Good, good." Because it's fortune telling. I don't believe in fortune telling. So you have to draw the line somewhere. Praise God. And, tonight we're going to take care of some business because we opened a door when we did that, didn't we? Yeah. We opened a door. And it's kind of like the fly that came into my, we were sitting down over here and we were eating dinner. That fly wasn't there until somebody opened up the door and let the fly in. Right? And it landed on my food. And I'm looking at it. I'm thinking, "Oh my goodness, a fly came in." And that's exactly what Satan does. When you open up a door, the fly's not going to affect you until you're sitting down and having your dinner. Isn't that right? And so what happens is that you may have opened the door 15, 20 years ago, and something's buzzing around and buzzing around and buzzing around. And boy, when the day that you're getting closer to God, the day that you're starting to get, right with God and you're starting to, and the God is about to bless you, guess what happens? That fly comes and lands right on you, right on your food, right where you're going to go, right where, right on that blessing that God's going to give you, And so what you want to do is you want to stay away from these doors, and you want to close the doors, but you want to cast that fly out. Amen? You want to get rid of those things? Now, thank you, Lord. Listen, I want you to turn with me to something here. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 3. And if you don't know where that is, all the T's are together in your Bible. Timothy and Thessalonians. All right? All the T's are together. So Titus is back there too. All the T's are together. So first, 2 Timothy. I want to talk to you about the last days. 2 Timothy and chapter 3. And I'd like you to turn to verse 13. But evil men and imposters, all right? Everybody see that? But evil men and imposters, I want you to circle the word imposters, because that's not exactly what that word is. The Greek translates literally into enchanters on that word. Seducers or enchanters, right? Wizards, sorcerers, that's the root of it, all right? And so, but evil men and imposters, you may want to put a little footnote over there. Enchanters, wizards, seducers, sorcerers. Those are all that it boils down to. Imposters, that word. Will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But because enchanting or incantation or imposters is used in various occult practices and rituals, it means wizards or sorceries. Right? But evil men and wizards or sorcerers will proceed from bad to worse. You understand this now? Deceiving and being deceived. You know, some contemporary forms of music, such as acid rock, fall into the same category. They fall into, and you know, they. What happens is that Satan uses music to channel in demon spirits into the souls of men. You know, this is nothing new. This is nothing. This has been going on for a long time. When I was younger, we didn't have acid rock, but we had other forms of music that the devil would use. Otis Redding, you know, I loved his music. Sitting on the dock of bay, just wasting time away, watching the ships roll in, watching them roll away again, just sitting on the edge of bay, wasting time. Guess what that made me? A procrastinator. I was a time waster. I love that, you know, just sitting around doing nothing. You know, we don't understand what music does to us. We don't understand how it imparts us. And actually, nowadays, when music is being sung over the airways, you are actually taking part in that music. Something is imparted into you spiritually as you're doing that. Think about it. Think about all the music that you used to listen to when you were younger. And think about all the things that you... philosophies in your mind now are because of that music. You think about how the enemy has stuck his lies into your head. I like some of the country music. Someone stole my dog and now I hate them. You know, you know, people start, you know, hating because of what's imparted into the music into them. People, you know, the music that's my lying, cheating heart. You know. And so you have to understand that the devil, he would like to put things into you through music. And so there's forces that are now at work in our lives that we opened the doors to many years ago through music. And some of those forms of music have to be cast out. Some of the lyrics have to be cast out of us in Jesus' name. Because the occultic force and practices that came in made us from bad to worse when we sat down to have a meal. Amen? Let's move along here. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18. Read with me the Lord's attitude towards various forms of occult involvement. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire. You know, that's not just like Dr. Knoll said, that's not like just walking through the fire. That's actually sacrificing their children to the gods of Molech and Chemosh. You know what that means today, in today's terminology? Abortion. One who uses divination, or one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord, and has everyone, you know, we've been, you know, some of us have been to seances, And, you know, we know that's bad and all that. You know, but some of us have participated in abortions, whether you're a guy or a girl, it takes two to tango, remember that. And some of us have said, I don't want that baby. Some of us said, I don't want that baby either. Let's get rid of it. Some of us have gone to doctors and became in agreement with a doctor to get rid of it. And so they passed their child through the fire, basically. And so that's just as hated. God hates that, and it's an abomination to Him just as much as sorcery is. So tonight, we're going to repent of these things. Some of us here have been involved in those things. We're going to repent of those things and ask the Lord to forgive us, because we opened a door years ago and a fly came in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we'll get rid of the spirit of those in Jesus' name. God hates all occult practices, whether one is involved in them or when that person operated the door, operated the demons, opened the door and the demons came in. Now, listen, closely related to all this is occultism. All this occultism is false religion. And I want you to understand that there's a difference between the two, but it's related to it. Here's some of the main features of that, of false religions. Number one, they acknowledge the plurality of God. False religion acknowledges the plurality of gods. Plural. Jot this down. We're not going to turn to it, but just jot this down. 1 Corinthians 8, 5 through 6. The second thing is practicing idol worship in any form. That's Exodus 20, verse 3 through 5. Some of you know these scriptures already. The third thing is teaching that human beings can ultimately become gods. These are some of the things that false religions do. You'll find that in where is it at? Genesis. Genesis 3 through 5. 3 verse 5, excuse me. And the fourth thing is pride. A main feature of a false religion is pride. It's self-explanatory. Lucifer fell from heaven. Pride. Teaching that that people can achieve righteousness by their own efforts. And the fifth thing is offering some form of knowledge available only to a private privileged few, much like secret circles like Masons or Freemasonry or Shriners or Rainbow Girls or something like that. That's false religions, right? Any fraternal order. I used to be a policeman with the city of Miami Beach many years ago, and I had to join the Fraternal Order of Police, which is a fraternal order. And lo and behold, I took some form of oath to join this Fraternal Order of Police. And I didn't know it at the time, but I was taking this blood-curdling oath, and it was really scary to me. And I was not a Christian, but it was scary to me what they were saying. You know, if you turn your brother officer in, you can cut your throat, we'll cut your throat and put you at low tide. And I was like, wow, we'll rip your tongue out, we'll tear your heart out. And and I said, man, this is some weird oath I'm taking. You know, just to join a club of cops? What's the matter? Yeah. I said, well, okay, I'll take it. And I felt in my heart, and I felt in my spirit, this is really wrong. Well, after I got out of the police department, I became a Christian. And I come to find out that I had taken a Mason's oath. And so what I needed to do is to cleanse myself, that break that oath in Jesus' name and command the spirits of that out of me. So some of you too, your ancestors may have belonged to like the Rainbow Club or the Rainbow Girls or the Masons or wherever, and Eastern Star, all right? And so your ancestors may have taken an oath, and guess what happens? A generational curse, demons passed down through the generation. And so lo and behold, you're having all sorts of problems today is because a door was opened up back then, generations ago. And so you're having problems, and you don't know why. Thank you, Lord. By the grace of God, the blood of Jesus Christ can heal us and forgive us and set us free from all that. Amen? Amen. Well, let me just share this with you, that at the base of everything, false religions and occultism, at the root of that is witchcraft. It's at the root of all occult practices and occultism. That means it's at the root of divination, sorcery, and false religions. They all spring out of witchcraft. You know what witchcraft is? 1 Samuel 15:23. What is it? for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Everything, every form of rebellion is witchcraft. All right? And so, at the root of it all, at the root of false religions, at the root of occultism, at the root of all this stuff is witchcraft. You know, and it continues to say in 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft and divination, that is witchcraft, which is divination, and insubordination. What's insubordination? It's stubbornness. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. All right? So here we have. Have anybody been stubborn about anything?
Duh.
You know, you hear something and you go, I know the answer to that and I know I'm right. You know, and the truth is in front of you, but you don't want to believe the truth because you know you're right when you're just standing on nothing. You're standing on sand in the ocean. And, you know, it's stubbornness. And that's iniquity and idolatry, by the way. Now, there are four levels of witchcraft that I want to talk to you about because witchcraft is at the root of it all. There's open and public witchcraft, which is, you know, kind of respectable in the world nowadays, operating in its real nature. There's the Church of Satan. It's in California. It started out that way. And it's open and it's public. And it's respectable to all the movie stars, but not to us, of course, or to God. Kabbalah's now respectable and out in the open. You know, all these things were occultic practices not too many years ago and hidden in closets, but now it's out in the open. And the message they sent is a deliberate, conscious, hatred and rejection of Jesus Christ. Basically, that's what it is. They hate Jesus Christ. The main enemy is the Christian church. And so witchcraft, open and respectable in public, its main enemy is the Christian church. Now the second one is underground witchcraft. It operates in covens. It usually meets at night with sacrifices, usually small animals and sometimes humans. And I remember when I was a policeman on Halloween, we used to find, in the following morning, we would find animal parts with ribbons attached around them and bags all over the city. So there are animal sacrifices. They still do it. And they do humans also. We've heard reports of that as well. And so there's underground covens. That's the second one. The third one is called the Fifth Column. Does everybody know anything about Chinese history? About the Fifth Column? There was a general who was attacking this city, and he sent all four columns of his army into the city. And whenever you hear anybody say the fifth column, this is what it actually means. So he's sending his columns in one at a time, and they're being repelled by the wall of the city. And he says to his commander, send in the fifth column. They've sent in all the columns they had. And he says, send in the fifth column. And the commander says, we don't have a fifth column. He says, yes, we do. It's inside. The fifth column is inside. Go attack the city again. But we don't have any more soldiers. They're all being repelled back. He says, take what you have and go back because I've got the fifth column inside. And actually, what it was is that he didn't have any more soldiers on the inside, but the inside fell because of fear. The inside fell. And that was his fifth column. The inside fell because of the skies formed within. Our society is like the fifth column. This fifth column fell from fear from within. Right? It was the enemy of themselves. They were their worst enemy because they were afraid of what was happening to them. And they fell. So when the general sent his troops back, the city fell. So that's whenever you hear somebody say the fifth column, that's what it actually means. Our society has a fifth column too. It's even within our churches. It's rock music, Black Sabbath. It's Kiss, the lyrics of the satanic songs, imparting demons to us. It's the New Age practices that are commingled in our churches. This is our fifth column inside of our church, in the Church of Jesus Christ. It's cults and religion within our society. This is the fifth column. It's hypnosis. It's Reiki. It's channeling energies and forces of the universe, acupuncture, karate, This is the fifth column. I went to, you know, a church that had karate on their walls, karate classes. You know, that's the fifth column inside the church. Any martial arts has its roots in a false religion. That's right. You may be shaking your head back there, but the truth of the matter is that I had to renounce the judo spirit. That's right. When I became a Christian, you take on the form of a false religion. You take on a form of whatever spirits that came into you when you worshipped or when you practiced this thing. You had to hum a mantra, sit in a position, concentrate. And so therefore, there's the fifth column is the enemy that is inside of you already. You understand what I'm saying now? Some of you practice yoga, transcendental meditation, mysticism of some sort. You know, my brother here mentioned Mary Worth the other night. A girl, I ministered to a woman who practiced Mary Worth, looking into a mirror, calling Mary Worth up a number of times, 10 or 13 times or so. And she stood in a mirror. It was a girl's game, party game. And a spirit appeared in a mirror and jumped into her. And she went insane from that time on. And I had to minister to her over the phone. I couldn't see her. She was in another state. It was a sleepover game. That's the fifth column. You know, we open doors to things that and we don't understand them. Now, that's the that's one of the third way that the level of witchcraft. So open, public, underground, concealed, our covens, the fifth column. And now the fourth one is the work of the flesh. Galatians 5:19 through 21. All right, let's go to Galatians. I'm going to go to chapter 5 and verse 19 through 21. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are... Here we go. These are the deeds of the flesh. This is how modern witchcraft works in us. All right, here they are. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. Oh, look at those words here. Idolatry, sorcery. Ammonites, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, which I forewarn you, just as I forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The beginning and the root of witchcraft lies in our flesh, our fallen nature. It's in there. Sorcery. It's in our fallen nature. We can recognize that when witchcraft is operating in us by recognizing any one of these three ways, how it expresses itself. And here's how it expresses itself in our flesh. Manipulation, control, and domination. You're delivered in Jesus' name. Right. How many here, besides me, have manipulated and controlled and dominated somebody? All right? And so, we operated in witchcraft when we did that. All right? And the rest of you need deliverance because you're liars. Here's how some of the ways these things work. Rage, anger, fits of violence, hurt feelings, tears, making somebody else feel afraid of you, making a person feel guilty. I think that's Jewish witchcraft there. Guilt trips. Bribing a person for sex because they didn't do what you wanted them to do during the course of the day. Well, I'm just not going to give any sex tonight, honey. Don't call me honey. So, you know, that's how it works. That's just some forms of witchcraft that we've practiced and operated in. You know, just want you to understand that. And whether witchcraft is operating in a fleshly nature or disguised in some sort of music or occultic practice or New Age practice, or whether it's operating underground or whether it's operating in the open, it's still witchcraft. Even if it's operating in our flesh, manipulating, controlling, dominating. Whenever I'm operating in this way, my wife always does this to me. It's sign language for control. Reins, the reins of a horse. All right? And so whenever I'm actually operating in that, my wife gives me one of these and goes like this. You know, it's our fallen nature. We do this, you know. We just do it. It's still witchcraft, and demons and demonic spirits are there, and the realm of the supernatural is there, and guess what happens? They come in, And they control, and they manipulate, and they dominate. And a lot of times I've ministered to people who have never practiced the dark arts, but they manifested a spirit. And some instances they were caused by a witch did something over them, or they inherited from their ancestors, and it was just came into their life. I remember somebody speaking something into a man I was ministering to. You'll never amount to anything. And he actually cast a spell on his own son. And his son never amounted to anything. And had to be broken off of him. You'll never amount to anything. You're no good. You're just like Aunt Jessie. Aunt Jessie. Boy, she's got a man's name. Yeah. You're no good. You're just like Aunt so-and-so or Uncle so-and-so. And so forth and so on. And so what happens here is that, you know, a curse goes out, witchcraft is spread, and, you know, there's something that needs to be broken off of somebody's life. I'm switching gears now. I want to talk to you about generational curses because that's important. I'm running out of time here. How much time do I have, brother? An hour? 40 minutes, okay. Let's read Exodus 20, verse 3 through 5. You shall have no other gods before me. Verse 4, you shall not make for yourself an idol of any likeness, or what is in heaven above, or what is on earth beneath, or what is in the water underneath. Verse 5, you shall not worship them, for I am the Lord your God, and I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers of the children on the third and fourth generation to those that hate me. Verse 6, but showing loving kindness to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You see, we see in this passage that God is a jealous God, and He wants us to worship Him alone. If my wife were to go running around, I would become jealous. If I were to go run around, she would become jealous because we have a covenant and we're to keep ourselves for each other. And so God is the same way too. When we go run around looking for some form of idolatry, we look to make something else a god in our life, God is jealous over that. He hates it when His one that He loves has broke covenant and goes to serve something else. And so what happens is that an iniquity follows for generations. And so we see this for four generations. I see, like I said last night, I see curse, curse, curse. Cancer, cancer, cancer. Iniquity, iniquity, iniquity. I see people, I remember a minister to a man, and he came to get deliverance from me one day. And he says, I just have problems. What's your problem, brother? Well, I do dope. I have a lot of dope problems, and I can't get free of the dope and the drinking and chasing the girls and you know, all the partying and all that, so I can't get free of it. I said, okay, sit down, we'll have some deliverance. Bam, demon's gone in Jesus' name. All right, thank you very much, brother, I'm set free. The next day I get a call from his mother. He's worse off than he was. What'd you do? I said, well, I gave him deliverance. Well, what happened? Well, I cast the spirits out of him in Jesus' name. And so I said, did he take a stand against this himself? Well, no. Was he supposed to? Well, yeah, he's supposed to. He's supposed to take a stand against these things. He's supposed to stop doing them. Oh, okay. And so I said, send him back to me. So he came back. I sat down with him again. I said, brother, what happened? He says, I don't know. I just can't, you know, I can't seem to, you know, get out of this thing. I said, well, why not? He says, I don't know. I said, tell me about your dad. And so as he was relating to me his father had the same problems he had. And I stopped him and said, how about your grandfather? And he says, yeah, grandfather had the same thing. It was a big scandal in another country. He had run off with somebody of high position's wife. And I said, oh, I see. You have a generational curse. And so therefore the same thing was passed down through his father to him. And so now I understood where to go. And some of us need to understand that too. We're not responsible for what happened generations ago, but yet we're affected by it. So let's move along here. Deuteronomy 23, verse 2 through 4. Let's read that one too. Deuteronomy. No one of illegitimate birth shall enter the assembly of the Lord, none of his descendants, even to the tenth generation, shall enter the assembly of the Lord. Illegitimate birth goes for 10 generations. There's a curse of illegitimacy that goes for 10 generations. I think that's about a little over 1,000 people, 1,055 people or 54 people or something like that. I'm not very good at math. Anybody good at math? You're just like me then. You're not good at math. 1,056. Thank you, brother. And so we have 1,056 people back in our family line that committed an illegitimate act or fornication outside of wedlock. And bam, right down the line, no one of illegitimate birth shall enter the assembly of the Lord. That means God shuns that person for 10 generations, shuns that family line. You know what happens when God shuns the family? Demons come in. And so you find all sorts of problems within family. And here's another one too, right down the line here. No Amorite or Moabite shall enter the assembly of the Lord. Right behind it, verse 3. No Amorite or Moabite shall enter the assembly of the Lord, none of his descendants, even to the 10th generation. Well, that's interesting. Amorite or Moabite, why? What's this all about? Well, because they didn't come out and feed the children of Israel when they were coming out of the land of Egypt. Lot's children by incest. So they had a double whammy on them. You see? They had a double whammy on them. They did two things. Their ancestors were illegitimate, and also illegitimacy begets illegitimacy and incest. You hear that? And they didn't do the right thing. Also, it goes on to explain a little bit more about them, because they hired Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse them. And he was supposed to go out and curse Israel. But remember the story about the donkey? The donkey turned around and says, "What are you doing? There's an angel in the road. I can't go over there. Slay us." Remember that? Okay. Well, that story is because these people hired the prophet to go out and speak against Israel. And I'm going to charge you with this tonight too. Don't speak against Israel or the people of Israel, whomever they may be. Some of them are in Israel and some of them are scattered tribes. Don't speak against them. Because all of a sudden you're going to find yourself in a position you don't want to be in. God curses for 10 generations. You know, so we want to stay clear of that. There's some curses that last forever. I want you to read it. Proverbs 17:13. Jot it down. Proverbs 17:13. Some curses last forever. He who returns evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. He who returns evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. You know, somebody could have done you good, or your ancestors good, and they did them evil in return. And evil doesn't seem to depart from your house. There's always something going wrong. Never being able to get set free from this. Always some sort of problem. And so there's a curse there. These curses, by the way, I'm giving you some bad news, but all these curses are broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right? And so what we need to do is apply the blood of Jesus Christ to every curse in our life. We're going to do that tonight. We're going to do that. We're going to apply the blood of Jesus Christ to because He was made a curse for us and nailed to the tree. And so therefore, we can apply the blood of Jesus Christ against these curses that happened in our lives and our ancestors' lives too. So that's the good news. 1 Samuel 2:31. I want you to hear this now. The things of the that I'm teaching you are to be caught in the Holy Spirit. See, I can't. If I teach you something, you're not going to catch it. But you understand what I'm saying? If I teach you, you're not going to learn. But if they're caught by you in the Holy Spirit, you'll learn them. They'll mean something to you. The things of the Spirit are caught. They're not taught. 1 Samuel 2:31. The time is coming when I will cut short your strength and the strength of your father's house so that there will not be an old man in your family line. Wow. Great-grandpa died young. Grandpa died young. Dad died young. Uh-oh. I'm going to die young. You understand what I'm saying? I've had people say to me, my father died, my grandfather died young, my great-grandfather died young, and I'm afraid. I'm coming up to the age where they all died. They all died at 50, 51, and I'm afraid. Would you pray for me, brother? Well, sure. There's a curse on your life. There's a curse on your life. Hey, you know what the curse was? It was Eli's two sons. Yeah. Hophni. Woo! What a name. Hophinius? Anyway, Eli never rebuked his sons. He never really corrected his sons. They were really evil guys. They were sleeping with the door greeters. They were taking the offering out of the people's hands and eating it for themselves. And he never really controlled the sons. And so God took care of business. And they all died in one day. Sons, his sons and Eli himself, the prophet. And so what happened here is that God put a curse out there. He showed a curse to him. He says, the time is coming when I'll cut short your strength and the strength of your father's house so that there'll not be an old man in your family line. Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah 23:40. Here's another curse, an everlasting one. I will put an everlasting reproach on you and an everlasting humiliation which will not be forgotten. Why? Let's find out why. Come on, turn in your Bibles. Jeremiah 23:40. You got to read this. Jeremiah 23:40. God says, I will put an everlasting reproach on you and an everlasting humiliation which will not be forgotten. That's a terrible thing. Let's go to... You see that there? Jeremiah 23:40. Do you see that? Everybody see that? Okay. Let's find out why. Verse 32. Back it up a little bit. Behold, I'm against those who prophesy false dreams, declares the Lord, and relates them and leads my people astray by their falsehoods and reckless boasting. Drop down to verse 36. For you will no longer remember the oracle of the Lord, because every man's own words will become the oracle, and you have perverted the words of the living God, the Lord of hosts, our God. So, family, giving false words, false dreams, false visions, false is like you're becoming an oracle of the God. You think your own words are doing it. Your own words are what you're hearing. And you're not hearing God's. God says, I don't even hear what you're saying. That's not my words you're speaking. And so, you give a false prophecy out, a false dream, a false vision. You're boasting and you're gifting. And what happens is that God puts an everlasting humiliation and reproach on you. So this is very important that you challenge yourself before you speak the Word of God. Fearfully, that you stand before the Lord before you speak the Word. Because once you speak the Word, it's out there. And there's an everlasting reproach and humiliation. If you've done this, repent tonight. If you've done this, stop in Jesus' name. If you've done this, stop. In Jesus' name. Don't let the chastisement of the Lord fall on you. Okay, let's move along here. Thank you, Lord. 2 Samuel 12:10. The word was given to King David. 2 Samuel 12:10. Now therefore, the sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me, and you took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. Why did the sword never leave his house? Well, we always think it's just because he had an adulterous thing, a little fornication, a little fling on the side with Bathsheba. But the key word here is, you despised me. I want you to, it all pivots on that word, you despised me. You see, when we know the right thing to do, and we know God's laws, and we know God says, don't do this, do not fornicate, do not have adultery, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, and you despise His Word. Whatever His Word is, you despise His Word. I'm going to do it anyway because I feel like doing it. I want to do it. I'm going to go get that thing that I want to do. I'm going to go get that bottle. I'm going to go get that cigarette. I'm going to go get this. I know that's killing me. I know, God, this is the temple of the Holy Spirit and I'm not supposed to do it. But I'm going to go do it because I want to do it. I want to have sin. And so that's what David did. He despised God's Word. He ran to sin. He ran to Bathsheba, her bed. And so what happens here is that the sword never departed from his house. How many times have you met people that the sword has never departed from their house? They're always on a campaign. They're always on a war. They're always battling something in their life. They never seem to break free of that something. It's because somewhere they despise the Lord. Are you hearing me tonight? They despised the Lord. And there was war and violence, and it never left his house. The word despise translates into contempt, which means a deliberate disregard for the dignity of the court. That's what it actually means. So it could be any form of sin that you can slip into and despise the Lord. You despise His Word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Today we're going to break occultism, false religions and teachings, and New Age sorceries, by the way. You know, you could take the Word of God and you can fall into a false teaching, and also That's a false religion. Today, we're going to break these things, anything that passed down through the generational lines. And if you will, would you please just stand up just for a minute, just to break some of these things right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now remember, you may not have done these things. Thank you, Lord. You may not have done these things, but maybe some of your ancestors did and then it passed down through generational lines. Say this with me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of the living God. Father, thank you for sending Jesus Christ to pay for my sins. I now receive Him as my personal Lord and Savior. I accept all He did on the cross for me. And the blood that He shed on the cross was for me. For payment of my sins and my iniquities. I receive that blood. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for all the sins I committed. I repent. And I refuse to go back there. Now I want you to ask the Lord to forgive your ancestors. Lord, forgive my ancestors. They have sinned. And open doors. Doors into the occult. Doors into witchcraft. Doors into sorcery. And things came into my life. And now those things that have passed down to me through my ancestors, I now take authority in the name of Jesus Christ, and I bind them, and I command them to be cut and severed from me by the blood of Jesus Christ and the sword of the Holy Spirit. I want you to actually take your arm and make a motion as, you know, there's something in making motions. And cut. I cut. And sever the cords that came down through the generational line. In Jesus' name. I cut and sever every demonic force that entered me through them. In the name of Jesus. And every demon that was on assignment through those curses, I command them to leave me now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone take a deep breath and just let it out. Go in the name of Jesus. Get out. Out in Jesus' name. Out. Every demonic force that came in. Every demonic soul tie. Every demonic force that came in through the generational lines. Go in the name of Jesus. Get out in Jesus' name. Go, go, go! Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Every demon that came in through your generational line, through your heritage, through your bloodline, go in the name of Jesus. Get out, get out, get out, get out. Get out, get out, get out. Sicknesses, diseases, go in the name of Jesus. Get out. Out in Jesus' name. Out, out. Iniquities, go in the name of Jesus. Get out. Out in the name of Jesus. Get out. Out, out, out in Jesus' name. Out. Addictions. Addictions. Go. In the name of Jesus. Out. In Jesus' name. Out. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, there's the demons come out in any expression of the breath. The name spirit and pneuma are the same word. You know, breath. We get pneumatic from that. And so the expression of the breath, some of you are yawning, burping, I see, and you know, yawning and coughing. Any expression of the breath. And listen, if you feel like vomiting, go ahead and vomit. I'm sure Glenn won't mind. And so, listen, we'd rather the floor be violated than you, right? All right, so, you know, if necessary, we'll clean it up at the end. Don't you worry about it. If you feel like throwing up, just do it. You know, there's towels and we have help somewhere. Help? Thank you, Lord. I command out of me every demon that entered my family line
and myself through 2 Samuel 12:10. The sword never leaving my house. Always being at war. I command that spirit to leave me now. The spirit of war. To go. In the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and get it out. Go! Out! Out in the name of Jesus. Out! You spirit of war. You spirit of sword. Go! In the name of Jesus Christ. You, the one that has them on assignment all the time. Always at war. Always at war. Always at war. Go! In the name of Jesus. All campaigns. I'm always on a campaign. That spirit. Go! In the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. I command the spirit that entered me when I gave false prophecy, and I have had false dreams, and I related them to God's people. I command the spirit of everlasting reproach and humiliation to leave me now in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and get it out. Go in the name of Jesus. Get out. 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 False dreams. False prophecy. Go in the name of Jesus. Get out. Out in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. I command out of me the curse of premature death. Found in 1 Samuel 23:1. I command the spirit that causes those premature death to come out of me now. In the name of Jesus. And every spirit that came into me when I did not control my children and I did not punish them who despised the Lord. I command them to leave me now in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath. Let them go. Out in the name of Jesus. Go! Out, every spirit. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. That's right. That's right. There's some more. There's some more. Go, go, go. Go, 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 go. That's right. There's more. That's mine. Thank you, Lord. I command out of me every demon that entered me through Proverbs 17:13, an everlasting curse for returning evil for good. I command every demon on assignment to that curse to leave me now in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath and let it go. Out in the name of Jesus when you did bad to somebody who did you good. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Listen, this could be your ancestors too that did this, remember? Go in Jesus' name. Something stirring inside of you and you said, well, gee, I never did that. Get rid of it. Something's there. I command out of me every spirit of bastard, illegitimacy that came into me by the Word of God, Deuteronomy 23, verse 2, every generational curse of illegitimacy that passed down 10 generations, I command them to leave me now in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath and cough them out. Go in the name of Jesus. Get out, 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 out. Your children are not going to have illegitimate children. And nor are you going to be illegitimate any longer. Go in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. I command out of me every spirit that came into me when my ancestors followed other gods. Or I followed another god. Or I open the door to a false religion, to a false cult, or occultism in any form. And I command the spirits that came into me then to come out of me now in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath. Let them go. Out in the name of Jesus. Get out. 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 Every spirit that came into you for false religions, false teachings, false cults. Go in Jesus' name. Curses that came down through generational lines. That's right. Go in Jesus' name. You know, I just want to touch on on something else. I just remembered, you know, I've talked about occultism here, and I really want to hit occultism a little bit, because some of us really open the door with that. You know, like I said before, with fortune cookies and stuff like that, right? I command out of me.
I command out of me.
Every spirit.
Every spirit.
Of fortune telling.
Of fortune telling.
Fortune cookies. And any other form of occultism.
And any other form of occultism.
I command out of me.
I command out of me.
Every spirit.
Every spirit.
Of occultism.
Of occultism.
From books.
From books.
From cartoons.
From cartoons.
From cassettes.
From cassettes.
From fairy tales.
From fairy tales.
From music.
From music.
From music.
From music.
From movies.
From movies.
From subliminal messages.
From subliminal messages.
From acupuncture.
From
From astral projection,
astrology,
auras,
chakra,
automatic handwriting,
birth signs.
Oh, stop there for a second. Anybody ever buy a birth stone? Ah, oh my goodness. All right. Black magic,
black mass,
Kabbalah,
charms.
Stop there, girls. Charm bracelets. I command out of me every spirit.
I command out of me every spirit.
Clairvoyance.
Clairvoyance.
Conjuring.
Conjuring.
Curses.
Enchantment.
ESP.
ESP.
Fetishes.
Fire gazing.
Fortune telling.
Handwriting analysis.
Hexes.
Horoscope.
Hypnosis.
Idolatry.
Incantation. Jezebel, materialism, and medium. Come out of me now.
In Jesus'
name.
Take a deep breath
and let it go. Out in the name of Jesus. Go. Out, out, out. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out, out, out in Jesus' name. You know, some of you are, I'm hitting buttons and you're thinking about, oh my gosh, I did that. And you remember. All right? Just remember where it came in at. It came in at somewhere. Walt Disney, okay? I say this. Now,
I command out of me
the spirit that came in
when I did.
Now, she remembered Walt Disney. What did you guys remember? All right? Come on. Come on. Come on. Let's put the devil out here now. Come on. When? Okay. Come on. Okay. Come on. Come on. Let's go. Let's get rid of him. Come on. Come on. Let's go. More. Come on. Let's go. Come on. Let's get rid of them. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. There's more. Thank you, Lord. I command those spirits when I did those things
to leave me now
in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go. Let's move along here. More occult. Take a deep breath. Blow them out. Blow them out, blow them out, blow them out, blow them out, blow them out. That's it. Let's go. Thank you, Lord. I command out of me.
I command out of me.
Mental telepathy.
Mental telepathy.
Mind control.
Mind control.
Mind reading.
Mind reading.
Numerology.
Numerology.
Ouija board.
Ouija board.
Palmistry.
Palmistry.
Pendulum.
Pendulum.
Pentagram.
Pentagram.
Psychic powers.
Psychic powers.
Runes. Satan worship,
Satan
seance,
seance,
sorcery,
soul travel,
spells,
spirit guide,
Saint Germain,
superstition,
table tipping.
Table tipping.
That's right. Some of you guys played games. When you know, let's see if we can levitate this table. Let's see when you're kids. Tarot cards,
talisman,
tea leaf reading, third eye,
trance.
Transcendental meditation.
Vexes.
Voodoo.
Warlock.
Wart.
Wart.
Or burn charming.
White magic.
That's right. Black magic.
Black.
Everybody doesn't want to admit to this, but there's some of us that have actually performed those things. Going to get a potion from somebody. Going to get some sort of love potion. Yeah, love potion number 9. Yeah.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah. Dungeons and Dragons, there you go. There you go. How about games that we played? Video games.
How about that? Video games. Some of them are very demonic in nature.
Harry Potter.
Books.
Movies.
Come out in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Come on, say that again. Come out of me in the name of Jesus. Any one of those things that I said. Any one of those things. Sorcery, spells, table tipping, tarot cards. All right? Take a deep breath. Let them go. Out in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Get out in Jesus' name. Now, some of the curses that came in because of these things, inherited curses. I command a spirit of barrenness, death, destruction, failure, rejection, incest, emotional disorders, infirmity, mental disorders, personality disorders, psychic disorders, to leave me. In the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and let them go. Out in the name of Jesus. Out every disorder that came in through those curses. Go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You know, some of you have ancestors that were Indians. All right? Arkansas just doesn't belong to the Arks here. You know? Belonged to the Indians at one time. Some of you came from Indian blood. Right? How many people came from Indian blood here? Oh, good number of you. My goodness. Oh, thank you, Lord. I command out of me every Indian spirit and the curses. Alcoholism. Bloodthirsty. Buffalo child. Cannibalism. Curse of the arrowhead. False prophecy. Fire dancer. God of the harvest. God of the stars. The God of the Great Lodge. Happy hunting ground. Hoop dancing. Human sacrifice. Indian astrology. Indian mythology. The longhouse. Loss of prosperity. Maid of the mist. Medicine man. Medicine bag. Nature spirits. Animal spirits. Moon spirits. Plant spirits. Sun spirits. Nature worship, peace pipe, peyote, poverty, root doctor, scalp spirit, sun dances, thunderbird, warpath, witch doctor, and woe. Now I want you to say, I command out of me every spirit of Hiawatha. That's right. You know what that is? A spirit that attacks the goiter. I command every spirit, every Indian spirit, to come out of me now. In the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and cough them out. Go in the name of Jesus. Every Indian spirit that came into you through your ancestors. Go in the name of Jesus. Get out. Out, out, out. Out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. Get out. Out in the name of Jesus. Get out. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. I command out of me. Every spirit of martial arts, Eastern mysticism, Buddhism, Chai, chanting, incense, burning. That's right. Kids today, I mean, I was a kid, I used to burn incense. That's a incense burning. That is a mysticism of Eastern religion. I command out of me the spirit of judo, karate, kung fu, reincarnation, taekwondo, transcendental meditation, and yoga. Take a deep breath and let them go. Out in the name of Jesus. Get out. Out in Jesus' name. Go, go, go. Every one of you that's done that, a spirit came in. Go in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. Get out. Out. I command out of me every spirit of cults and false religions, Armstrongism, Arthur Ford, Charles Manson, Christian Science, Confucianism, Hare Krishna, Hinduism, I Ching, the Inner Peace Movement, Islam, Gene Dixon, KKK, Messianic Order, Mind Sciences, Moonies, Scientology, Secret Societies, Now I want you to name the groups, like the Masons or whatever, whatever. That's right. Name them. If I didn't name them, anything that does not believe in the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Name those false religions. Come out of me now. In the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Let them go. Out! Out! Every spirit that came in through false religions, go. In the name of Jesus. Cults and false religions, go. In the name of Jesus. Now I command every spirit of religious spirits, blindness, doctrinal error, doctrinal obsession, fear, fear of losing salvation, hypocrisy, legalism, mind over matter, ritualism, whoredoms, angel worship, another Jesus, another gospel, burning candles, counterfeit, supernatural powers, false gifts, false prophecies, false tongues, fear of the priest, fear of the priesthood, every spirit of Nimrod, to leave me now, in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and let it go. Out in the name of Jesus. Get out, 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 out in Jesus' name, out in Jesus' name, out in Jesus' name, out in Jesus' name. All right, I want you to put your hand on something that you're sick with. It may be a gallbladder, it may be a kidney, it may be a knee that's weak, it may be something. It may be some place that you're sick in your body. And you know, when deliverance is such a cool thing. You want to know why? The spirits leave and then your body gets healed. Amen? All right? So here we go. We're going to do some more here. I command out of me every disease and disorder, every spirit of infirmity, infirmity of the blood, the bone marrow, the joints, digestive tract, the endocrine system, the eyes, gallbladder, the immune system, kidneys, the livers, the nose, the metabolic system, OGBYN system, the respiratory system, the sexual organs, the skin, the throat, and the urinary system. I command those demons to leave me now. In the name of Jesus, you, the one who afflicts me, leave in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and cough it out. Go in the name of Jesus. Get out. 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 Out in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. I command out of me every spirit of allergies. Allergies against bee stings. Cats. Dogs. Against dust. Eggs. Feathers. Mold, pollen, prescription drugs, seafood, spores, wheat, any allergy. Name your allergy. Whatever allergy you got. Name your allergy. I command every spirit of allergy to leave me now. In Jesus' name. Take a deep breath and get rid of it. Go out in the name of Jesus. Get out. Out, out, out in Jesus' name. Go, go. Out, 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 out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. I command out of me. Every spirit that causes acne, appendicitis, back problems, blindness, bursitis, cancers, cataracts, cerebral palsy, cramps, cysts, diabetes, Down syndrome, earaches, eczema, fainting, fevers, fungus, glaucoma, goiter, gonorrhea, headache, to leave me now. In Jesus' name. Am I done? I command out of me those diseases in the name of Jesus Christ. Now take a deep breath and cough them out. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.